How many of you in here like to be called a liar? Like few and far between, right? For some people, them's fighting words, amen? not the Christians, of course. Nobody likes to be called a liar, even if they are. They still don't like to be called a liar. Well, I want you to see something here tonight that really has to do with each one of us and who we are in Christ. Tonight really is going to be kind of a gut check night, revelation night maybe, personal revelation night for each person, self-evaluation night. I don't know, all kinds of terms we could use for this. But tonight, I really believe, is going to help some of us evaluate just where we stand as far as our walk with God is concerned. Now, this isn't going to be the only way to determine such a thing, but this is going to be a method or one way that we can use to kind of evaluate ourselves. And Hebrews chapter 3, take a look at the very first verse. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Obviously, this is written to Christians. Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Then he says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, it calls him the apostle and high priest of our profession. Well, let's focus on the last part of that, high priest of our profession. Now, let's go back to the law for a moment and think about the high priest, or really just think about the priestly ministry. As people under the law would bring animals to be sacrificed in accordance with what the law said to do, they would bring these animals to the priest. Now, the priest knew the law, and he knew that the animal offered was supposed to be without spot or blemish. So what the priest would do would begin to examine this animal. And I mean, he would start like at the nose and work his way all the way down to the tip of the tail. If it had a tail. The tip of the tail. And he would feel and he would look and he would, you know, look in the eyes and look in the mouth and feel the legs and part the fur and the coat and all this. I mean, they would examine this animal. And if the animal passed inspection, then the animal was sacrificed and presented to the Lord. And this is one of the things that Jesus was so upset about. When they would have like the Passover, for example, just one example, and people were supposed to sacrifice animals and so forth, the priest had a real game going. People would bring in their animals, and the priest would tell them, nope, unacceptable, we're sorry. And they would say, well, what am I supposed to do? The law says I'm supposed to be involved in this thing here, and, you know, I'm like 50 miles from home, and you know, we can't like email a billy goat up this way. What am I supposed to do? They say, well, you know, we just happen to have some lambs right over here. And they would sell them at like anywhere from 3 to 10 times the going rate. So the people were doing their part, but the priests were making a, you know, a bundle on the side here. And that was one of the things that Jesus was really upset about as far as his criticism of what they were doing, because this was a racket. But nevertheless, under the law, they would examine this animal, and the animal had to be perfect. If there were any imperfections, if there were any blemishes, if there was anything wrong with this animal, it was rejected. Now, the way the system would work properly, there was a way that you could exchange your animal or purchase an animal and so forth. It wasn't until the corruption came in later on that they had a problem with this. But nevertheless, you had to offer a perfect animal. The animal had to be perfect. When it was inspected, or it never got past the priest into the presence of God. All right? Now, Jesus is the high priest of our profession. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Now let's just study that concept, all right? Profession is basically something that you say. Jesus is the high priest of our profession. Now, turn over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, and look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, Jesus is the high priest of our profession. So let's use that statement, a variation of that statement in this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to thee, O high priest of my profession, my strength and my redeemer. All right, now, have you ever wanted God to do anything in your life? That's kind of a no-brainer, don't you think? Well, sure we have. When we want God to do things in our life, don't we usually, you know, like pray? Well, sure. I mean, that's we go and we ask Him or tell Him what we'd like to see done. Now, He's the high priest of our profession. And we see here in Psalm, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, and you are my high priest, the high priest of the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. In other words, remember when Jesus was talking about the day's going to come, you don't ask me anything, you ask the Father in my name and so forth, all right? So here we are. We have a thing in our life. Doesn't matter what it is. We want it changed. We want it answered. We want conditions rearranged. Whatever. And we say, Father, this is what I want. Would you please, and then fill in the blank. Now, that kind of a request can come in all different shapes or sizes. All right, that's just a representation of how we would approach God for something, regardless of what it would be. And everybody, their own personality, their own emotions, and all different things about us can cause that particular prayer to be altered or changed depending upon the circumstances. Now, Jesus said, you ask the Father in my name. All right, now consider this. He's the high priest of our profession. We want to see things changed in our lives. We go to Him to see change. He's supposed to be the high priest of what we're professing. Meaning, we bring our profession to Him. And He inspects it from the tip of its nose all the way down to the tip of its tail. And He runs His hands all through the coat of our profession, all up and down the legs of our profession, looking for impurities, looking for imperfections. Under the law, when the high priest did that, he would then take this sacrifice, and the end result was he would go before God and say, God, I have examined this sacrifice, and I have found it to be perfect, worthy of your acceptation, or worthy for you to accept and act upon. Jesus is the high priest of our profession. He inspects our profession. And if He finds any imperfections or impurities, what makes you think He, as the high priest, is going to march into the presence of the Father and say, Father, I stand in agreement with this profession. It should be honored by You, and You should act upon it. Do you think He would do that? If he found something wrong with what you were professing, he's not going to stand in agreement with it. Think of it like this. You know, the Father is behind the curtain. All right? And Jesus is the high priest outside. And we come to him and say, here is my profession. He's supposed to take this now and go behind the curtain and present it to the Father and say, Father, this is good enough for me. It's good enough for you. Will he do that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God? You've just found out why a lot of prayers don't get answered. Because Jesus is not going to stand in agreement with anything that does not line up with God's Word. Our prayers are prayed, blah, 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 blibbity, blibbity, and so on and so forth, in Jesus' name, amen. In other words, we're expecting our high priest to approve of this prayer so that the Father will answer it. Now, that's not exactly the procedure that takes place, but I'm presenting this to you to try and create an image as to why it is we aren't seeing a lot of things happen in our lives, a lot, most Christians now. It's because, truth of the matter is, we do not understand, under the law, they had to understand the law as it pertained to the sacrifice, all right? Well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. But at the same time, this is the word of grace, all right? Therefore, when we go into the Bible and we see what is God's will and God's word and God's desire, when we begin to get into the Bible and find out what relates to us as the body of Christ, and then we try to present something that's opposite to this, trust me, it never makes it to the altar. All right? Using the analogy of the law and the sacrifice, it never makes it to the altar. God won't honor it. Our high priest will not acknowledge it. He's going to say, what do you want me to do with this? I know of a give you an example. It's a pretty far out example. And I've shared this story before. There was the first church I pastored, before I got there, there was a story of what had happened. A lady stood up during prayer request time and requested, would you all pray that, you know, God would kill my husband because he's holding me back as I try to go forward with God. I mean, okay. Stand in agreement with me, would you please? Now, that's a real out there kind of an example, okay? But can you imagine lifting some goofball kind of a request and then closing it out with, in Jesus' name, amen, like he's going to do something with it? He's just going to say, wait a minute, no. You don't understand. I am not walking in there and presenting this to him. Forget it. Now, most all of us, I'm sure, don't pray or profess weird stuff like that. However, if our profession does not line up with God's Word, Jesus will not stand in agreement with it. This is where a lot of folks miss it. Now, I'm going to pass some things out here. He says, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Brother Don, if you could help me here. One to each person, please. This is just one sheet of examples. We could have come up with 7 or 8 or 10 pages like what you're going to get. We're going to go through and read these. And I can, when we read these, we're not going to read the verses or the scriptures that substantiate these confessions. These are professions that line up with God's Word, but they're being presented in a way that goes completely against common thinking in a lot of religious circles. But the reason that the verses are in there is so that you can take the time later on and look these up if you want to. Now look at this. Now we're going to go through and read these out loud. And when we do, when we get to the end where the verse is, we won't read the verse part out loud. We're just going to read the written part, the profession part. Alright? Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world. Today, I am conforming more to the image of Christ. I am righteous and holy, and I live that way. Every part of my body is healed and continues daily in health. I hear the voice of my shepherd, and I follow him wherever he leads. I willingly choose to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus and to declare that He is the Lord over every area of my life. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened, and I know the hope of God's calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in me, and I know and understand the exceeding greatness of His power toward me. I do not have fear, and I do not give in to fear. I lay hands on the sick, and they recover. I cast out devils. I know and comprehend the love of Christ, and I am filled with all the fullness of God. I do the works that Jesus did. I love Jesus, and I keep His words. I am not conformed to this world. I am transformed. My mind is renewed, and I know God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. I am diligent to make my calling and election sure, and I shall never fall. I am not slothful. Through faith and patience, I daily see God's promises manifest in my life. I walk in wisdom, and I redeem every moment of every day. I have all the money and material things necessary both to live and to fulfill what God has called me to do. I have no confusion. I am not envious. I work no strife. I do no evil work. And I have peace governing my life. I am faithful, dependable, and reliable in all I do. And I keep my word when I give it. All right, now stop right there. Obviously, no more to read. Now, some of these are kind of like no-brainers. But some of these would cause some people to go tilt. Because we have not been taught to think or profess in line with God's will. Now look at this. Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world. My God Almighty, I would never want to do that. Why, that's blasphemous. No, it's not. Go back and look up these verses. Look these scriptures up. See, if this is what God declares, if this is God's will for us, then this is what, now listen, this is what He expects us to be professing about ourselves. Just like under the law, it was God's will for certain types of animals to be brought. It was God's will under the law for these animals to meet certain criteria. If they didn't meet that criteria, then guess what? God didn't accept it. Likewise, we're under grace. We have the word of grace. We have God's will. We have His desire for us as the body of Christ. If our profession does not line up with His will and His word, then the high priest of our profession is not going to receive it. Now, I am righteous and holy, and I live that way. Well, again, you can look these verses up and these passages later on. But think about it. Is this what God wants for us? Could you pass this on back to Bev? Is this God's will for us? I mean, is this what He wants? Is this what His Word says? Okay, am I amiss by declaring about me what God would say? Now keep in mind. If I were to stand before God and say, God, what is your opinion of me? I want to know what you think about me. What is your desire for me? Do you think He's going to come up with anything less than what we have written right here? Do you really believe that he would say anything other than, he's going to look at you and say something like, well, you know, I sure wish you were righteous. And you could stand a little holiness too. God, he would look you right in the eyes and he would say, you're righteous, you're holy, you're created that way. That's how you're supposed to live. But God, you know, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like any of these things in here, God. He's going to say, well, you know what? I'm sure my son didn't feel like hanging on a cross. But he did. And I'm sure while he was on the cross, there were times where he felt a lot of pain on your behalf. But he stayed up there. You know why he did that? For the joy that was set before him. Would you like to know what that joy was? Yes, God, I would like to know. What was that joy? The joy of knowing that you could be made righteous and holy and my child. So what do your feelings have to do with it? Jesus has already experienced the feelings. Well, God, I just don't know. I hear the voice of my shepherd and I follow him wherever he leads. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10. My sheep, they hear, they know my voice. Now think. How many times have we in the body of Christ heard somebody else say, I just wish I could hear God's voice. I just wish he'd speak to me. Well, he never says anything to me. Well, now wait a minute. According to John 10 verse 27, he's speaking. Could it be you're just not listening? He said, my sheep, they hear, they know my voice. They do what I tell them. They follow me. Now this is God's confession over us. This is how God would profess it over us because this is his desire. As we say things like, well, I just never hear God. I just wish he would say something to me. Jesus is standing there and he's saying, well, you can say that all day long, but I'm the high priest of your profession, and I'm sorry, but that profession does not line up with my Father's will, and I will not take that in there and present it to him. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I feel like I'm a hypocrite if I say I hear his voice when I'm not hearing his voice. How do you know you're not hearing his voice? How do you know, but what, you're not just dismissing, well, you know, I had this thought the other day, but that can't be God. Well, what was he wanting you to do? Oh, he was weird, you know. It's like I had this feeling that, you know, I ought to call Sister Jones up and just tell her that I love her. Yeah, you're right. God would never want you to do anything like that. See, how do you know you're not hearing the voice of God? You know why? It's because we're expecting this, you know, like Ten Commandments movie kind of experience. This deep, booming James Earl Jones bass voice telling us to take our shoes off or something. It's like, no, it's in here. It's in here. He speaks to you, spirit to spirit. It's in here. Why do you think he had to talk to Moses like that? Because Moses did not have a new nature on the inside that was habitable by the Holy Spirit. Moses had a sin nature he inherited from Daddy Adam. He wasn't born again. God had to do things differently in the Old Testament than he does now. We're his children, see? Here, in some of these others. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened, and I know the hope of God's calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me. And I know and understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward me. Now, but Brother Martin, I do not understand any of those things. What is God's will and desire for you? Is he going to look at you and say, nope, sorry, you don't qualify for this one. I'll give you a few of the others, but not this one. No, see, this is God's desire for you. Brother Martin, I have to be honest. I really don't know for sure if I fully understand. Don't worry. Now listen. The more that you profess God's desire is the more his desire can become your reality. Because as far as God's concerned, it's already settled in heaven. And he's not going to change it, all right? These things in here, he's not going to change this. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you say, he won't change. This is it. You're stuck with it. I say like it. here, he says, look at this one. I lay hands on the sick and they recover, and I cast out devils. Most of the body of Christ, we'll just mark that. We will white out that one, all right? Paint over it. Don't even want to hear that. Well, is this not what Jesus said, though? Well, sure it is. Why should not I say what Jesus has already said? Now, remember, these aren't exact quotes, but these are phrased in such a way to try and hit us between the eyes where we're coming from. All right? I do not have fear, and I do not give in to fear. You ever known Christians that were afraid to do about anything? Oh, God, help me. I'm so afraid I would never want to do that. Oh, 911. I ain't flying. No. Well, what about terrorists that blow up buildings? You going into any buildings? You mean, see, the planes flew into the building, right? And the building collapsed. So you're not going to fly, but you're going to tall buildings. Isn't that a contradiction? I do the works that Jesus did. Man, you're out there, Brother Martin. No, I'm not. I'm scriptural. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do too. He said, God started all this. I didn't. It's a lot easier to think of yourself as a no good, just, you know, wormy little kind of a person barely making it through life than to face up with the reality of who God says you are. This is what God believes about us. But I'm not living like this. It's not going to change God's will. Your lifestyle will not become the standard by which everybody is judged. We will be judged by the standard of His Word, see? Now, I have all the money and material things necessary both to live and to fulfill what God has called me to do. Now, Brother Martin, I know that's a lie. You ain't seen my bank account. No. You need to see God's Word. Again, go back and look at these verses. I remember one time I was praying about a ministry need, all right? And the Lord spoke up and said, you already have it. It's like, okay. High and low. I'm searching, Lord. He says, you already have it. See, that's His perspective. That's how He sees it. He sees, I already have it. Look at this one up here. If I can find it. Oh, yes. Every part of my body is healed and continues daily in health. Again, is this not God's Word? Yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't know my body. My body is in severe rebellion to these words. Well, that may be true. But again, what does God have to say about it? See? You go back and you look at these verses. Every part of my body is healed and continues daily in health. Now see, if this is what God wants for us, why in the world would we not want this for us? If this is the way God talks about us, if this is His will, why on earth would I not want that to be my profession? Why would I want to continue every day going around telling everybody how bad it hurts, how sick I feel, how disjointed this thing is and all? Why would I want to keep talking about that? You know, this isn't for condemnation, but this is for us to like step into some reality. So, no, Brother Martin, I'm living in reality. You're the one with your head in the clouds. No, you're the one that's living in the reality of the things that God says have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. See, God's reality conflicts with sin-influenced reality. Sickness is a result of what happened back there in the Garden of Eden when Adam blew it. All right? Sickness, disease, affliction, it originates back there and works its way forward. Messed up bodies, it's not God's will. Sickness and disease, it's not God's will. And God's made as much provision as He possibly can. I mean, it's already there. Why would I want to talk about it hurts all the time, and continue to reinforce something that God says really isn't supposed to be mine. Why not profess? Because if I keep saying things like, well, I'm sick, it hurts, I'm sick, it hurts, it hurts, I'm sick, and it still hurts, and boy, am I ever sick. If that is my profession, do you understand Jesus as the high priest of my profession? He's not presenting that to the Father. He's not going to say, Father, I present this profession to you. I've examined it for imperfections. Ain't nothing wrong with this one. And the Father takes it and says, well, now, wait a minute, son. I am sick. It hurts. It hurts. I'm sick. I'm sick. You hand this to me? How am I supposed to bless this? Well, I don't know. You know, it's what they say. Son, you know better than this. I mean, look at your back. Don't you remember those stripes? You take this back. Tell them when they get it corrected, bring it to me, and I'll add my blessings to it. He says, or look in this. Look at this last one. I am faithful, dependable, and reliable in all I do, and I keep my word when I give it. There's a lot of Christians wish that one wouldn't be in there. Isn't he faithful and just? Doesn't the Bible say he never changes? Doesn't the Bible say that he never leaves and he never forsakes? Doesn't the Bible say heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't pass away? You ever thought about what that means? Have you ever really thought about that? Heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. In other words, what you have in this book, once God made these declarations, he signed it in the blood of his son to guarantee, I'll back it up. And I really don't care what you do in life. I'm backing my words up. I'm there. That's why he says he's faithful and just. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's because he stands behind his word and it's impossible for him to lie. He knows the moment that he says something to us, it's over. I mean, that word is guaranteed no matter what. I would say he chooses his words quite cautiously. Because he knows once it's gone from his mouth, it's a forever kind of a thing. And in the body of Christ, you look at these verses, this is how we're supposed to be. Faithful, dependable, reliable, and we keep our word when we give it. Now let me show you something. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 27. I'm going to use a verse to illustrate a point. Proverbs 27, now look at verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. This coming from a man with 300 wives and 900 concubines. I guess he should know. Now, let's paraphrase this. A drippy faucet and a nagging woman are the same thing. All right? You ever been around a drippy faucet? It just won't stop. Now, using that verse as an illustration, how do you think it sounds to God when we spend our days saying things like, I just wish I could get more righteousness. I just wish God would heal me. Why, God, won't you move? Don't you know we're about to go bankrupt? I just wish God... Are you with me? How must it sound to him when you've got like a billion Christians talking like that every day? Thank God he is divine. And he can put up with it. Trust me, if I were God, I might strike a few people with mute or something, you know? How it must sound to God when we say things like, I just wish you would heal me. I just wish you would, you know, come through for me. God, you know, we're about to lose everything. God, I just wish you'd speak to me. I just wish, you know, you'd say something to me for a change. God, I just wish you'd tell me what your will is for me. God, I just wish. You know what? Remember the question I asked at the very beginning? How many of you in here like to be called a liar? Do you understand when you go to God with those kinds of professions? It's like you're calling him a liar. In light of what God's Word has to say? Now, we don't mean it like that. We really don't mean it like that. But think of it from his perspective. He writes us a letter. He says all these great things about us. Tells us about all these promises that he's guaranteed to stand behind. He tells us what to do to see the promises manifest in our life. He puts it all down in writing. And he says, here you go. And then we go to him and complain? What would you think if you wrote a letter to somebody and you told them all these wonderful things, you know, what you were going to do and this, that, and the other. And you gave it to them. I mean, you put it in their hand. And then they call you up on the phone and complain about the very things that you wrote about. What would you think? That they had like some sort of mental deficiency or something? Well, God knows that we don't have a mental deficiency. But speaking, you know, from human terms, it's got to be frustrating for him. Well, we know it's not, but, you know, here, we've got the book in our hands. All we have to do is get in there and read it. Now, here's what's amazing. It's like there are some Christians that can actually quote the verses that these statements came from that we read, and they still don't believe them.
Oh, yeah, I know over there in John, that's what it says, but you know it's always something else.
No, it's not. I mean, it's either the Word or it's not the Word. See, but Brother Martin, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, I got to be honest with you, I really do feel kind of like I'm a hypocrite when I make statements like that, or some of them. Because it, I don't know, it just doesn't seem real. When we make statements like that, like that sheet and others that we could all come up with. When we make statements like that about ourselves, what we're doing is this. We are exalting a spiritual truth above a natural circumstance. And that's exactly what God has always done. Exalted His Word above a natural circumstance. His Word brought the natural into existence. If it was powerful enough to bring the natural into existence, then you know it's powerful to keep changing things. Somehow, the word come created a path on top of water on which Peter walked. He said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus said, come. And he walked on water. Don't ask me to explain how that the Word of God can bring about changes. In other words, don't ask me for a scientific explanation. I can't give you one. All I can do is give you a spiritual explanation. God is God. He's not going to change. All of these things in here, this is His will concerning me. It's His desire, His words concerning me. I'm born again. I have His life and His nature in me. When I take a sheet like this and I start speaking these things, do you understand? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, but Brother Martin, this isn't, you know, word for word, the Word of God. What? Let me just kind of clue you in on something. Really? Really? Neither is the King James. I mean, don't get bent out of shape on this one, because if you remember, the King James came from Greek and Hebrew. All right? So technically, King James isn't either. But we kind of let that slide, don't we? And that's okay. It's okay, all right? One way to look at it would be the King James is God's will in English. Okay? These professions right here, now I know this isn't word for word out of the King James or the Greek or anything else, but it is a restating of what God wants for us. So it's not wrong to make professions like this, because this is God's desire for my life and your life. So the more that I begin to do this and I begin to profess His will, you know, Jesus takes this profession and He says, oh boy, the Father is going to like this one. He says, Father, looky here. This is what He's saying about Himself. Father says, whew, He's saying all these things? Yeah. Well, this is what I want for Him. I know, that's why I brought it in here. I checked it out. I mean, it lines up with everything here. This is good stuff, Father. Father says, yeah, boy, I tell you what. We better stand in agreement with Him on this and begin to act on it, because after all, I promised my word would not return void, but it would accomplish everything I send it forth. It's going to prosper in His life. And if He's taking the time to profess my will over Him and His life, guess what? I will add my anointing to it, and He's going to change. He gets involved, man. He gets involved. This is why, when you begin to say things like this, it might seem blasphemous at first. It might seem like you're lying at first. But this is God's will. And like I said, we could have had like 10 pages of things like this tonight. It's just a matter of going through the Bible and find out promises, His will, and so forth, and making them this personal. Not just, okay, well, this is God's word. I confess God's word. All right, well, let's confess it personally. Let's turn it into a declaration over us. Because you know what? If we were the only ones on planet Earth, this is what God would be saying over us. Individually. Every one of us, see? This is how He does this. So praise God. This is me. And it's you. This is us. The body of Christ. And there's so much more beyond this right here. And the more that you begin to do this, the more it begins to penetrate past whatever hasn't believed this, begins to sink some roots into your heart. Then you wake up one day and all of a sudden, you just know this is you. You just know it's you. And if your body tries to tell you differently, you just say, no, nobody, no, you are, no. My Father's will is, and my will is, and you are going to be healed. You are going to manifest healing. You are going to walk in health. I'll have it no other way. Everything else on here. So now you've got another tool at your disposal. But don't let it stop here. Get excited about this. Look in the Bible for some more things. Create your own. Put your name in here. Put your name in here. You know, make it super personal. I mean, Jesus died for you in a super personal way. So we can make this super personal. Well, it's just incredible, isn't it? You go through this list. I think this is what God wants for me. Wow. That's cool. I think I could live like this, don't you? Praise the Lord. Stand up. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. We flat out just do not understand with our minds, Father, how the power of your word can change things in our life. But it does, Father, it does. And now, Father, you know, we've heard this tonight. Help us to grasp this in a deeper way with a greater understanding that Jesus Christ, as the high priest of our profession, He is going to stand in total agreement, Father, with everything we profess as it lines up with Your Word. That, Father, this whole concept would become such a reality so that even from this night forward, those of us here, those who hear this by tape, that, Father, from this night forward, there would be like a real powerful check in our spirit if we begin to talk in ways that don't line up with what the Father would say about us. And then, Father, it's not just some kind of a magic formula to see change. No, it's just lining up with Your will, Father. It's lining up with what You want for us. May this become so real that, Father, we would almost have a reaction like fingernails on a chalkboard when we get around other Christians that just keep saying things that don't line up with the Word, that we would really be conscious of this, Father, and that the profession of our mouths, Father, truly would be acceptable, and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in Your sight. Thank You so much, Father, that You have not left a stone unturned, but You have covered all the bases for us as we live here in this life. Jesus, we give You the glory for all the change that's going to take place tonight from the few minutes that we did make those professions. Because, Father, Your Word prospers, it doesn't return void, so therefore we know change was effected tonight because we profess the will of the Father.